and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Listen to how Jesus calls his followers to choose humility. Matthew chapter 5, I am reading verses 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus does something very interesting here, folks, and I want us to see exactly in this particular text what is going on. This is traditionally referenced as the Sermon on the Mount. Many of us are familiar with this particular text. We've been making a journey through the book of Matthew. And as we are making that particular journey, I don't want us to lose sight of where the text started and what is happening today in Matthew chapter 5. You see, we've seen an awful lot of things where Matthew has been establishing who Jesus is. He had the perfect genealogy. He had a birth that was the fulfillment of prophecy. He is an individual who connected and identified with the sinners of the day. It was a call to repentance. And Jesus, when he launches his public ministry, he calls these disciples aside, and it is the sick and the hurting, the afflicted, that come to Jesus. And at the end of chapter 4, it is Jesus who heals them. And on the heels of all of this, Jesus now, look at what the text says. It says, "Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and he sat down." Very interesting phrase. When he saw the crowds, Jesus had just spent a great deal of time healing the people at the end of chapter 4. And we've got this picture of Jesus at the beginning of his public ministry where there is great anticipation and there is great excitement about the ministry of Jesus. A very unique man with a very unique message built upon this proclamation of John the Baptist, who said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And so there was a buzz of who is this Jesus and what is his message. And I want you to think of all of the groups. Look at what the text says. It says, "Now when he saw the crowds," it doesn't fully identify who all is in the crowds. We can assume that based upon the end of chapter 4, many of the individuals who had come to Jesus and had been healed, they were probably there. They were likely many of the social outcasts. We probably have many of the individuals that we know of as the 12, the disciples. Matthew had already shown us in chapter 4 that Jesus had called the first of the disciples, of the 12. And so we've got this large group that is likely present with this question in their mind of going, yeah, number one, am I even worthy to be part of the kingdom of Jesus? And you may have another group that is there with Jesus on the mountainside as they're listening to him going, okay, this is it. This is our moment. You see, after all, the Jews were under the bondage of Rome. And so there was an anticipation of the coming Messiah, that he is an individual that would break them from that bondage. And I'd like to think that there's multiple groups that are there getting ready to listen to Jesus. And some are saying, why am I not be worthy? And others are saying, this is our moment. We're going to bust loose from Rome. Boys, get your spears and sharpen your swords. It is time. And Jesus says, choose humility. Jesus says, choose humility. You know, it's very interesting when we look at the Beatitudes, as they're sometimes referenced. There are eight of these things. Number 10 and 11 really go together, that we have in verse 10 and 11. But we have eight of these particular Beatitudes that are stated here. And it's interesting that there are two primary areas that these statements by Jesus reference. In this call to the people to say, this is not a kingdom like you might be thinking of. When Jesus is calling those on the mountain to choose humility, I want us to note that in some of these particular phrases of the Beatitudes, humility comes about by the acknowledgement of sin. And that shouldn't surprise us, should it? After all, what was the first proclamation about the coming of the kingdom? From John the Baptist, it was what? It was, repent! For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then Jesus reiterates that particular statement later. The very first charge that he has as we look into these Beatitudes, humility comes about by the acknowledgement of sin. Look at how it opens up in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This word that is used, you've heard lots of studies on this probably, blessed. Blessed is a very interesting phrase that is used by Matthew. Sometimes it means be satisfied. But it's a perspective of, as you do this, realize that there is the applause, the affirmation from heaven based upon an individual who is living accordingly with what God desires. And Jesus is showing us that in his kingdom, he is showing us what it is that God desires. So an individual that is blessed is an individual that has the applause of heaven, if you will. Jesus wants us to see that these individuals who do these things are approved by God and are thus satisfied. They are resolved in themselves because of knowing the fact that the Heavenly Father approves of these things. But look at exactly what he says. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Remember, I want us to look at the fact that humility comes from the acknowledgement of sin. Jesus rattles off four in a row here that in some degree reference this fact that humility comes about, first and foremost, from our acknowledgement of sin. Blessed are the poor in spirit. This word poor actually has an Old Testament connotation to it. And this connotation is wrapped up in the fact that individuals who were poor and needy, it came to be a metaphor. It meant that they could only seek and be satisfied with God. They were so destitute. And it came to take on a spiritual connotation to it. All throughout the Psalms, the poor and needy were a picture of individuals who could only turn to God. These spiritual overtones, as Jesus opens up the text and he says, individuals that come into my kingdom must have a humble dependence upon God. Individuals that come into the kingdom are individuals that must have an acknowledgement of their spiritual bankruptcy before God. Let me paint a picture of what this is not. This is not a picture of an individual who is prideful and boastful. This is an under individual that who knows in terms of their very being, they are sinners. Folks, would you raise your hand if you are a sinner? See, that's where we have to start. Jesus says, my kingdom begins with an understanding that you're a sinner. And that's what God wants to see. It's not the kingdom of self-exaltation. It's the kingdom of a broken and a contrite heart. You see, Jesus in many ways was paralleling his call here against the Pharisees of the day who had exalted themselves. And Jesus says it's not about self-exaltation. It's about starting saying, I have a broken and contrite heart. Look, he continues to unpack that. Look at the next one. Verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't get real excited when I think about that text. I mean, I don't want to be approved by God for mourning. I mean, you look at it and go, woo, yes, I get to mourn. Anybody else just rejoice when you hear that? Of course not. But you know what this text is connected to? It's connected to the one in front of it. It's an issue of mourning because of sin. You are blessed if you mourn because you have an understanding that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. I don't like to mourn. As a matter of fact, I hate it. I hate weeping. I hate crying. I don't like those moments, those dark moments in life where it's just full of darkness and it's like a wet blanket that just comes over you. But you know what? God sees that moment. And it's not just particular an issue of us crying about anything. It's an issue of us crying because of our sin. That is what moves and motivates God. A broken and a contrite heart. We are asked to choose humility. Look at what else he says. Look at verse 5. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. Can you imagine what the individuals that were sitting around this that were thinking, man, I've got my sword, Jesus. It's time for us to take the hill. And Jesus comes out and says, blessed are the meek. He is challenging them to choose humility. Don't pursue power, choose humility. And by the way, do you know this particular phrase is used in Matthew chapter 11? It's also used in 2 Corinthians 10 to identify the very persona of our Lord and Savior himself, an individual who was identified as being meek in spirit. Look at what else follows. Look at the next one, if you will. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It is a call for individuals to turn from sin and to pursue the things of God. Every one of these, one after the other, it is a call to humility, a charge for those in Jesus' kingdom to choose humility. And we are asked to remember that humility comes about by acknowledging our sin. You see, folks, there is a song of this world, and it is not the song of the kingdom of Christ. And we can talk about it in a lot of different ways. You know what I stumbled onto the other day, speaking of songs? I stumbled onto, Randall Smith, you're going to love this. I stumbled onto a 1980 release from an individual by the name of Mac Davis. Anybody remember Mac Davis in the room? Yeah, okay, look out, you're dating yourselves, okay? Mac Davis wrote this song and released it. And I want to quote you the chorus of it as I heard it on the radio again. Listen to what it says. It is the song of the world. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Well, I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking each day. Well, to know me is to love me. Well, I must be a heck of a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. You're welcome, because it'll stick with you for the next week. So just send me an email in the middle of the night when you're up singing Mac Brown songs, okay? But you know, I got to chewing on that, and that is the song of the world. Contrast it to one of my favorite verses out of one of the ancient hymns of the faith. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to him for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Humility comes about through the acknowledgement of sin. You want to have the applause of heaven? You want to have the approval of our Heavenly Father? Acknowledge your sin. The question for us is, okay, we hear that. What does that look like in life? Thank you for asking that question. Jesus himself answers it. Look at what he says. He says that not only does humility come from our acknowledgement of sin, but humility should lead us to love other people. Look at what he says in the following verses, starting in verse 7. It says, blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Friends, what is mercy? Mercy is the compassion for people who are in need. This is contrasted again with the role of the Pharisees in the text here. He is charging the people who are sitting on the mountainside to say, hey, you want to have the applause of heaven? Be an individual who is merciful. My friends, if you are here today, you must be a mercy giver. Why? Because you have been a mercy recipient. Amen? Amen. The world's nature is unmerciful. It finds revenge delicious and forgiveness very tame. Jesus calls us to live in humility. Jesus calls us to be people of mercy. Look at what else he says. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. He is making a claim from Psalm 51. Create in me a pure heart, O God. And the pure of heart is wedged in between some very interesting beatitudes here. And this one somehow, some way is saying that the pure in heart have a perspective not on the things of the world, but on the things of eternity that God is concerned about. Look at what else Jesus says in verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. Do any of you really enjoy being a peacemaker? I don't. But I'm called to a position of humility. We often think of peace as there are no problems. And boy, let me tell you, growing in my house, we've got four kids, and it is constant movement and action. Do any of you just really enjoy and appreciate a moment of peace? Somebody say amen with me, right? You know who you are. You just enjoy that moment of peace and tranquility. And I like it when the kids are in their room and they're all in bed and I've had a long day. I love spending time with them, but there's a time where at the end of the day, I need some peace. Peace biblically is not just about enjoyment. Peace biblically is about reconciliation. And when we see this charge right here of humility, Jesus is saying, come into my kingdom and I need you to be a peacemaker. That you are more concerned about the problems of others than you are about the problems of yourself. Because we are called to have a different kind of kingdom. And look at this. Look at how he wraps this up, because Jesus himself knows that sometimes even in the role of a peacemaker,
It doesn't work out the way we would desire, does it? Look at verse 10, 11, and 12. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. My friends, there are things that we are called to do on planet Earth as children of the King that are counterintuitive to what we really desire to do. When I first moved into my house in 2002, we live out in Forney, and when I first moved into my house, I thought I was going to be very neighborly, and I was going to go around and meet all the neighbors. Okay, so I did that. I went around and shook a few hands, and there was one neighbor that I didn't have an opportunity to meet, and there she was, and she was out in her yard. And so I walked up to my fence, and I kind of called her over, and I introduced myself to her. And she walked up to that fence, and she did not have a smile on her face. She did not shake my hand, and she said these words. Listen closely. I want you to know, I like little bitty kids, and I like really, really old people. And I do not like anybody in the middle. Nice to meet you too. It started this pilgrimage that has now gone on for 10 years. She has called the police on us. She has called animal control on us because, according to her, and I'm going to quote her on this, dogs are people too. She took us to court over a particular issue. And let me tell you what, it was a picture of bitterness and hate. And I can remember they're standing in the courtroom after I had seen all, she had sent all these ugly letters to our house, and she had falsified documents saying all these things that she had said. And I stood there in the court, and I knew the judge knew it. We made eye contact. He read it. He knew that we were standing in a position of safeness. In other words, she is not right. And when she was busted in that moment, and the judge knew it, he called her to the stand. And he said something, and I'm not sure this day what it is that he said to her, but immediately she packed up her things and she walked out of his courtroom. He called me to the stand, and he said these words, "Thank you for not belittling her." Okay, I wanted to belittle her. I had evidence a mile long that I was ready to shred her. She had acted ugly. She has stood in her driveway and has openly flipped us off. She has talked ugly to my children. She has come over. She is a woman that is just, she's bitter. And listen close, folks. She needs Jesus. You know what I want to do? I want to belittle her. She needs Jesus. You know what we are called to do? We are called to be in the role of peacemaker. We are called to stand there, and that when she belittles church and Christianity and Christ and defames his name, you know what we're supposed to do? Love her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Most High One. My friends, this is a different kind of kingdom. Oh, it'll be a physical kingdom. That day's coming. But let's not forget that now Jesus takes the concept of self-exaltation and says, I need you to live a life of humility. My friends, I've looked at a lot of the front end of these things. All of what we are charged to do and who we are charged to be, to live a life of humility. Most of our observation has been done there on the front end. That drives us now. But friends, don't ever forget the promises. Listen, look at them. The poor in spirit will receive the kingdom of heaven. The mourning folks will be comforted. Those who are meek will inherit the earth. The merciful will receive mercy. The pure in heart will see God. The persecuted will receive the kingdom of heaven. These are not little things. My friends, choose humility now. Blessing will come later. He never said that it will be easy. He said it will be worth it. Amen? Amen. What does Jesus want to see from those who are in his kingdom? One word. And it's not self-exaltation. What is that word again?